Hey, good Sunday morning, guys. This is Troy from Zia Comics Talk Nerdy to Me, and I'm here bringing you all the nerdy news that is fit to know for this last day of your weekend. Let's go ahead and get this all set up. We're going to share the display, and let's just make me small. That's what she said. Okay, that's about appropriate size there. That's way too big. Push this back into the Kona. We're sharing the display. All right, let's start with WWE superstar The Undertaker. He is getting his very own graphic novel. If you're not familiar with the graphic novels are usually compiled of several different comic book issues. Sometimes not. Sometimes it's original graphic novel, and the whole story is only appeared in a graphic novel. With The Undertaker, he's getting his very own story in graphic novel. It's probably going to be the soft cover, more pages deal. Undertaker, really popular character in wrestling, and never too early for nerd news. That's true. Thank you, Real Screeners. Undertaker, very popular. He's 20 plus years in wrestling. Anyway, Boom Studios, as you see, is giving him his own graphic novel. We will be able to see that, looks like, October 31st at your local comic store. And then after that, they're actually giving local comic stores about a week lead time on that. Then it'll come out in bookstores and digitally. So, I mean, there's some sneak peek at the artwork. There's a throwback, old Mean Gene Okerlund, if you guys ever watched back in the day when I did. So this, he's a very interesting character. Very tied with the occult. So it should be interesting to see this translated into comics. They can do so much more. Can't wait to see that. Archie Comics is celebrating a milestone of sorts. Their 700th issue, which is, that's quite an accomplishment if you think about it. If it's a monthly publication, you figure there's going to be 12 issues a year. So, whatever the math is on that, 700 divided by 12. And then you see how many years it took for them to hit that. So, 700, not a lot of comics hit that one. Archie's one of them. Archie keeps reinventing itself to stay modern. It's still a really popular comic, the newer ones. The stories are really good. They tackle a lot of current event stuff, a lot of issues that are going on now. They're not trying to keep it old school stuff. And as you see, when they hit 700, it's going to be taken over by a new creative team. Nick Spencer is going to be doing the writing. You probably remember him from the Captain America, the Hydra Cap series. He also did some work on Morning Glories. And Marguerite Savage, who from Faith and DC Bombshells. As you can see, her artwork's pretty good. Not a problem with that. Nick Spencer, I love his story writing. I actually like the Hydra Cap storyline before they castrated him and wouldn't let him finish it off right. I love when they take characters and shake them up, take them out of their comfort zone. I'm tired of, people get tired of seeing the same thing from the characters all the time. So Nick Spencer writing Archie 700. Here's the cover to 699 leading into that. That's also by Margaret Savage. It's going to be a big recap of stuff that happened, I believe, under Mark Waid. I think he was writing it just before this. So he's handing the keys to the car over to Nick Spencer. So they're going to be tackling among other things, they're going to relaunch Betty and Veronica, a number one, their high school year. What's going to happen when they split to go to college? Yeah. Looking forward to that. If you're not an Archie fan, because you think it's silly or it's just about old stuff, you're wrong. Pick up an issue, go through it, see if you like it or not. I have a feeling you probably will. They're really, really well written, good stories, and they deal with a lot of current events and modern stuff. So don't sleep on Archie. Spider-Man getting a new temporary power. It says temporary. I don't know that it ever left him. There's another Sandman from a different universe or reality or something. And he's just ruthless. He's taking out everybody, all the other, he's taking out Sandman. Sandman, somehow, I don't understand this, is able to transfer his ability to control sand and turn the sand over to Spider-Man. I don't know how that power gets transferred. I think that might be a little too much for me to believe, but it happened in the Spectacular Spider-Man, written by Chip Zdarsky. As you can see, you got the Spider-Man, Sandman versus this bad one from the alternate universe reality, whatever. Spider-Man thinks he's going to take him over to the water to take care of him, like he has with this universe's Sandman. But this Sandman from another universe has figured that trick out. Doesn't work. Spider-Man still is able to overcome him and with some help. And they send him back to where he's from. And then I don't know how he loses the Sandman power, because like I said, it's temporary. But if it's the temporary, I'm guessing he's going to lose it. I really don't think that he should have all this extra powers. He's powerful enough. He doesn't need that. So if you're a big Sandman or a Spider-Man fan, you'll want to pick that up. Okay, we got a major Marvel villain is going to get some crazy power. Crazy, crazy. And Thor number 5, you got to see the big throwdown between Thor and Old Man Phoenix. And if you didn't read it, Old Man Phoenix is actually Logan with the Phoenix Force. So him and Thor, Thor's trying to, he's now King of Asgard. He has some kids, and his kids are the Goddesses of Thunder. With those, they go down and they kind of reseed Earth, bring humanity back. Old Man Logan, Old Man Phoenix, a little ticked because the whole idea was to wipe out life on Earth as it was supposed to be. So he was confronting Thor about that when they were both kind of confronted with these old Marvel monsters, one of them being Fing Fang Foom. They came and they're portending the arrival of their master. They think that Fing Fang Foom is a master, and he comes out and he says, "No, it's not me. I am working for the master. The master is Doom. Victor Von Doom, Dr. Doom." But this isn't just regular old Dr. Doom. As you can see, somewhere along the line, he's picked up some extra powers. Looks like the powers from the Avengers 1000 BC, or I'm sorry, 1 million BC. He's got a lot of them, man. He's got, like, somehow he picked up the power of the Iron Fist. He's got the Star Brand, as you can see. Star Brand's another character that doesn't get used much. Pretty powerful, good character. Master of Mystic Vengeance, the Doctor Strange, mystical stuff. He's got that. And he's basically telling them, "Bow before me, I'm omnipotent." I'm not sure what I think about that, but Jason Aaron is, I usually like his stories, so we will see where he's going with this, man. What a weird concept with Old Man Logan running out of ideas. Well, yeah. Ha, guessing it'd be Doom. Yeah, I hear you, real screeners. Yeah, they are running out of ideas. I've been talking about that for a while. Like I said, Jason Aaron, good writer. I kind of surprised he went this way. The Avengers 1 million BC, I kind of liked where that story started with the crazy celestial hitting Earth. and all the prehistoric Avengers, I guess you could call them, taking care of him. And then Odin made that stupid-eyed decision, hey, let's send him to the moon. And everybody, no. No, Odin's, let's just bury him right here. Genius idea, Odin. Thanks. So that crazy celestial has been causing a lot of problems here lately, especially starting with Legacy. And we really haven't heard much about it. They've kind of glossed over it a little. So maybe they're going to touch more on that. I know Starbrand was a little ticked and trying to get rid of it. And then they're just like, oh, hey, forget about Legacy. We're going to show you this. Dumb. Anyway, as you can see, Thor number 5 is on sale now. You're going to get to see a huge OP Doctor Doom. Doctor Doom's always got some kind of plot going. We'll see if Thor and Old Man Phoenix is going to bow. Let's jump over to TV. The Goldbergs, it's set in the 80s. If you've ever watched it, they do a lot of homages to 80s actors and stories and ideas and movies, what have you. This Halloween, you're gonna get a huge throwback, a big fan favorite. You can see the picture right there. Mr. Krueger, Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund, the man behind the makeup for, I would say, a huge majority of Freddy Krueger appearances has been Robert Englund. He's going to be on the Halloween special. Fitting. I think that's a perfect match. Freddy Krueger on the Halloween issue or episode of The Goldbergs. Can't wait to see that. I love the Freddy Krueger character. I like to see that. And the Goldbergs have done this before. I mean, they even brought in Rick Moranis way back to portray Dark Helmet again. So they're big on that nostalgia thing, and it works. People love nostalgia. So yeah, Robert Englund's gonna reprise his iconic role. It's gonna be crazy. The new season starts September 26th. I'm not sure when the Halloween episode's gonna air. Probably the week, Halloween week. That's my guess. That'd be the smart thing to do. So if you are a big fan of horror, you can't get any bigger than Freddy. Iconic. Real screeners, yeah. Robert Englund, the man, right there. It even calls him out by name that he's going to be portraying Mr. Krueger. Can't wait. Black Lightning. Another character who really didn't get used a lot in the comics. He's very powerful. Actually, I think he's one of the only people to turn down Batman to join the group for, was it Justice League he turned down? I think so. But he ended up joining the Outsiders later. He did eventually team up with Batman. Everybody's wondering, are they working toward that here on Black Lightning? Because season two, they bring in one of the Outsider characters, Looker. So they're seeding the plot with the right characters. Are they eventually going to do any kind of crossovers? Because it's CW. CW has a monopoly on DC Universe shows right now. And I would love to see add in Black Lightning to the crossovers. So why not? As you can see, Black Lightning, Jefferson Pierce, he's got the lightning powers. His kids kind of get that power also. You get thunder and lightning, and that's the bad dude there, Tobias Well. They're bringing in more bad dudes this season. Like I said, I think Looker is going to originally be a villain. Let's see. Yeah, it just tells you the new season is going to start on October 9th. So, yeah, if you haven't watched Black Lightning, the only problem I really have with it is dude's suit. It doesn't really show it in here, but this lightning bolt and the arm things, they kind of light up neon with yellow outline and glow. and he's hiding on top of a building with this glowing, you know, twin lightning bolts on his chest. Dude, you're not hiding from anybody. The suit is not very stealthy in that respect, but it's been, you know, it's made by his friend to help him channel and harness his lightning energy to do more with it. Good, they're going to expand the City Lives Free land. You're going to see much more of it. Hopefully, they expand it all the way over into the Gotham area and we get some crossovers, or over in Queen City, even over Coast City, that'd be great. But yeah, Black Lightning, second season. Can't wait. England's dialogue was the best among classic horror characters. Yes and no. Yes and no. Real Screeners is saying Robert England's dialogue was the best among horror characters. Only if you really like the humorous part of it. Everyone, you know, it turned in, it got so silly at one point that it wasn't even scary anymore because it was nothing but a long run of puns, of Freddy Krueger telling puns. The first one, the first Nightmare on Elm Street scared the crap out of me. The second one, it was okay, got it started getting a little silly. After that, they just all went off the rails with the humor, trying to be funny, so much so that it took all the scare out of it for me. So, yes, if that's what you like in your horror movies, then I say yeah, but my horror movies, I want to really be scared. I don't want to laugh in my horror movies. If my heart doesn't start racing in a horror movie, then it's not a horror movie in my mind. And I don't count, you know, jump scares. That's not even, I want psychological, mental scariness. Let's go on to Godzilla versus Kong. They've been building up this for a while. We got our Kong Skull Island movie, kind of reimagined Kong. There, you saw him there on Skull Island. He was running stuff like a boss. They are putting out a Godzilla movie. It is coming out very soon. Here we go, May 31st of 2019. They're going to follow on the heels of that in 2020 with Godzilla versus Kong. This is the movie we've been waiting for, Godzilla versus King Kong. They have had one in the past, the Godzilla versus King Kong. It was kind of ambiguous as to who won. They didn't want to upset any fans. This one, they have promised that there will be a definite winner from this fight. So, yeah, I can't wait to. I don't know who my money's on. It's going to be great. They've already, it's directed by Michael Dougherty. They've already cast Millie Bobby Brown, which you know from Stranger Things. She's 11. See, Vera Farmiga, Sally Hawkins, Kyle Chandler, O'Shea Jackson Jr. You might not recognize that name because his dad doesn't use that name. That's Ice Cube's dad, or Ice Cube's kid. So Ice Cube's son is getting big into acting, and he's not a bad actor. So Ken Watanabe is going to be in there, Bradley Whitford. So it's got some good actors, and you know it's following that whole corporation of Monarch who's going around doing the cryptozoology. That's how they got to Monster Island. They're also supposed to introduce some other bad, well, I shouldn't say bad, some other monsters with Mothra, Rodan, and King Ghidorah, the three-headed one. So we're going to get a supposedly a good Godzilla movie, which will lead into Godzilla versus Kong. Can't wait for that. Real Screeners, that's exactly why I enjoyed it. Yeah, like I said, some people love the humor. If I go to a horror movie, I want to be scared. And all the horror takes me right out of it, and I don't get scared. So, to each their own. That's why they make different movies. Okay, I told you guys a week or so back, William Shatner's putting out a Christmas album. He was gracious enough to release one of the singles from his Christmas album. And on this one, it's going to be, of course, Jingle Bells with Henry Rollins. Henry Rollins is singing Jingle Bells with William Shatner. I listened to this just before I went live with you guys. And it's like William Shatner and Henry Rollins are angry at Christmas, the way they sing Jingle Bells. It's you can feel the underlying hate in the song. It's not a real joyful song. It's good. Don't get me wrong. It's good. It's not a joyful Christmas song. It's more of the punk rock influence on it. I will put this for you guys on podcast. I will put the link in here, or actually for you guys on YouTube also. So if you don't want to have to type it from the screen, I'll include the link in the description so you can go over to SoundCloud and listen to it for yourself to see if you enjoy it or not. I enjoyed it. It's going to be a different type of Christmas album, I'm sure. Henry Rollins, as you know, used to be with Black Flag, the punk group, and you can tell he's influenced this Jingle Bells quite heavily. You know, that with the Shakespearean theatrical reading, because Shatner doesn't really sing. He just kind of reads all of the lines. So it is what it is. I liked it. It's not a song I would think you'd want to put on when grandma and grandpa come over to open presents on Christmas. They're not going to understand it. And your parents probably won't even understand it unless you have really cool and young parents. So, yeah, I put the link for the Jingle Bells single from SoundCloud up. I would suggest listening to it before something happens to SoundCloud and they remove it or something stupid. But his holiday album is coming out. It's 12 different musical collaborations. So that means there's only one song that he does by himself since there's 13. You're going to have all the classics. Winter Wonderland, Feliz Navidad, Jingle Bells. A brand new original song. One for you, one for me. And as I told you, Jingle Bells he sings with Rollins. Other artists he's going to have on are Brad Paisley. I mean, he's going all over the place. You're going from punk rock to country. Iggy Pop, Joe Louis Walker, Judy Collins, Rick Wakeman, and Todd Rundgren. That's quite a big list of prominent musical artists there. And here's a little fact that kind of threw me for a loop. This is Shatner's 10th studio album. I knew he made the one way back with the other Star Trek guys, I believe Leonard Nimoy. Who can forget Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds as presented by Shatner. But his 10th? Man, I had no idea that it was his 10th studio album. I'm guessing they're all spoken word. It's going to come out October 26th, right around Halloween time. I will probably pick this up or download it and force all my employees to listen to it. I'll give them the choices, that or the Star Wars Christmas special. I'm thinking they're going to pick Shatner. Let's see. Real Screener says, crossing my fingers that the plot matches the action in G versus K. Yeah, I hope so. I hope it's not a Michael Bay explosions and fight only. I'd like to see some story behind it. I like the story in Kong Skull Island. They're going around and doing all the cryptozoological, I think I pronounced it all right, findings. Kong Skull Island was a hotbed for that stuff. And Godzilla, I'm waiting to see if he's going to come from Skull Island also, or if he's going to come from somewhere else. And after Godzilla, I want to see how they're going to get both these guys in the same place and how they're going to get them ticked off enough at each other to fight. Just because you have two big monsters doesn't mean they're not going to get along. They might actually become friends. But with the verses in there, you're almost guaranteed a battle. They said there will be a clear-cut winner to this battle. Maybe we should start taking bets now who you think is going to win. I'm going to kind of lean towards King Kong until they show me what powers they're going to give Godzilla. His power set has been redefined a few times. Are they going to give him the radioactive breath, the fire, the what powers will Godzilla have? And will Godzilla be helped by any of the other guys like Ghidorah or Rodan? Any of those? They didn't mention Gamera. I was kind of upset. I'd like to see Gamera. So that is, like I said, it's a Sunday. It's kind of slow. That is all I have for y'all today. We will be right back here again tomorrow, and I will give you more nerdy news to start off your week. That's all I got for you today. Later, nerds.